It's more than just your output, more than a bike. When you hear your shout out, you know it's all right. Put on your magic pants and let's go. We're cruising into the power zone. Clip in, set yourself free. Come on and take a ride with me. You know what you need to know and what's it all about. Everything you need, it's on the Clip Out.
Welcome to the Clip Out Podcast, episode 353. This is Crystal O'Keefe.
And this is Tom O'Keefe. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. So I guess let's just jump right in and remind people about the next book club.
Okay. Let's do it.
So the next item up for bid is Made.
Yes. And it is by Stephanie Land. And so we are going to be doing our book club meeting on April 9th. And we will be discussing then. If you want to read along with us, we're reading chapters 1 through 10 this week. And we will be discussing, like I said, April 9th, 7 p.m. Central.
And if you don't like reading, it is on the Netflix.
It is on the Netflix. And my understanding is it's pretty faithful to the book. So
you've watched the show, yeah, but you haven't read the book yet?
I was thinking I had read the book, but looking back, I'm not sure that I did.
Gotcha.
Like, I think I might have gotten distracted and just watched the Netflix. So I'm not exactly sure now.
Gotcha.
I'm going to start reading it again. And then, like, if everything seems familiar book wise, then I'm going to be like, I'm out.
Like, oh, I've already done this.
Yes, exactly.
Even though I don't remember it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I remember the Netflix series. It's just a little fuzzy between, you know, when you read a book versus when you watch something.
Yeah.
You know, they're a little different. So.
And you can get all the information for that over on our Patreon at patreon.com/theclipout. But that doesn't cost you money to do the book club, except, of course, buying the book, unless
right,
you get the book from the library. But that's available for everyone at the free level. So if you wander over there, and if you also want to check out what a book club session is like, then you can catch the last book club we did for Mel Robbins, The 5-Second Rule.
Yes. Yes, you can. You can watch the whole thing. We had a very lively discussion.
Yeah. So it's just a different way to interact with people. And if, in case you don't realize why we're picking these books, it's because these are authors who are confirmed
Peloton
to be Peloton users. So sometimes it might be an instructor book, but who I believe those count as Peloton users.
They do.
Okay.
They do.
But sometimes there might not be an immediate Peloton connection. And that's because we know the author is a huge Peloton.
That is also true. And on that note, we are going to be doing an instructor book for the month of May. We are going to be reading Emma Lovewell's book for the month of May.
Awesome. So
we already have announced that. So you can get started on both those books.
If you are a slow reader, we're giving you a head start.
We are. And if you want to, some of these you can get from the library, as you said. So.
Sure.
It's good to have plenty of time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And before we forget, let's do our first bingo call out of the episode.
Bingo number one.
Is that a drum roll?
That was supposed to be a drum roll. It was not a good drum roll.
It was not a good drum roll.
I know. That's why I'm not a sound machine. But
you are no Michael Winslow.
I am not. Bingo number one is Tune Day.
There we go. So, and who is our guest this week?
Our guest this week is David Levinson. I know it's been a few weeks since we interviewed him.
Yes.
But we had a really good time talking to him. And he's been a Peloton user for a long time. So we had a lot of different topics to cover.
Okay. So what, pray tell, do you have in store for people this week?
That's all.
Okay.
David.
Here's David. See you next week.
We're going to talk about what's going on with the Peloton studio closures because they have made a change to it. We are going to talk about why you have to keep your shirt on at the studio. We are going to talk about the new experiences tab. We are also going to talk about why there is an Instagram Peloton co-branded shirt. And we are going to talk about what we know for power zones for the tread. We have instructor news coming up as well. We're going to do a little recap of the New York City Half Marathon and artist series coverage, as well as a couple of celebrity sightings. And we have lots of content to discuss as well.
Awesome. Well, before we get to all that shameless plugs, don't forget you can find us on, what do I say here?
Well, you usually say all of the platforms.
All of the platforms. There we go. You can find us on Apple and Google. Spotify. Google went away.
Oh,
it's all YouTube
it's
now.
It's all YouTube now. And, that's right.
But you can watch these on YouTube.
You can.
And you can also...
Apple has transcripts now. Did you know that?
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
We've had transcripts on our site for a long time.
Oh, for sure.
Time,
yeah,
time.
But Apple does it automatically. Now.
Yeah. And so while you're there, be sure and follow us so you never miss an episode. Maybe leave us a review. Super helpful. You can find us on the Facebook at facebook.com/theclipout. While you're there, like the page, join the group. Don't forget our Patreon at patreon.com/theclipout, where for $5 a month, you get all sorts of bonus content. Every week we record a bonus episode, which is the stuff that we didn't have time to get to in the main episode. You also get ad-free episodes, so you'll get this episode but minus the ads, and then you'll also, if we get it early, you get it early. So you can sign up for our newsletter at theclipout.com, and of course, as I mentioned previously, you can watch these episodes at youtube.com/theclipout. So that's it for all that. Let's dig in, shall we?
We shall.
Peloton in the news.
So we have a slight change to the Peloton studio schedule.
We do. It was supposed to be closed from April 15th through April 21st. And
because they had to do their taxes.
Right.
Well, they had to rest up from having done their taxes.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, they had invited a bunch of people into the studio. There was a bunch of invite classes that were taking place on April 22nd. And then all of a sudden, people started getting all these cancellation notices. And then they were re-invited the week later. And depending on what class you had been invited to the day of the 22nd, you were invited back on like the 28th or the 29th, different instructors, different classes altogether.
Right.
Obviously, some people were upset.
Well, sure. I mean, if you live close to the studio, that's probably not a huge problem to overcome. But if you don't live close to the studio.
And case in point, we have a friend here. I don't want to mention their name in case they don't want it that broadly broadcast that they were going, but they had been invited.
Yeah.
And they were invited to the April 22nd class, and then it got canceled. Now, when you live in Missouri and you have to make all your flights, you know, you can't just like snap your fingers and like make that happen.
Right.
This person happens to have flexibility with their daytime situation, and they were also able to change their flights, but not everybody can do that.
For sure.
The reason that we're telling you this, the reason we're making a big deal about this is not because, oh, Peloton, you made a change. It's more to tell you that they are going to keep making changes. So when we say, hey, we have this article out there, here's all of the dates that Peloton has listed for 2024. We also want you to know they are subject to change
at any moment in time.
They can and will.
Yeah.
And in addition to that, we also recommend that you get travel insurance if you have the ability, because we don't want you to have a situation where you were looking forward to this and now you're out all of your money.
But would travel insurance even cover that?
I mean, I guess it depends on what kind of travel. Like, they do have travel insurance that will kick
for
in
any
for
reason.
Any reason.
Okay, because I'm like, I always think of travel insurance as like, oh, if somebody gets COVID or you break an ankle or...
There's that kind,
yeah.
But there's also the one that allows you to be able to purchase it, like, no matter what.
Right.
And sometimes people are in the situation, it doesn't matter. Like, if you're in a situation where you bought your airline tickets and you can change the dates pretty easily, that's not such a big deal because most of the hotels are going to let you change stuff too. But let's say that you not only bought a hotel and your airline tickets, let's say that your airline tickets are through Southwest and you did a want to get away.
Right.
Well, yeah, you're going to have some trouble now. And if you were like, oh, while I'm there, I'm going to take in a Broadway play. They're not going to let you change that. So you do want to think about it. Like,
welcome to StubHub.
At the very least, like maybe don't book that stuff until you get closer. You know, I don't want you to think that like Peloton is constantly just dropping classes, but it happens.
It's always a possibility. I honestly think the better way to kind of enter into these things is don't make Peloton the focal point of your trip to New York.
I mean, we never do.
You know, like, and then if it happens, great. And if not, whatever. But like, and I get, especially if you've never been, that's going to be disappointing. So I'm not trying to trivialize that. But like, but I just don't know that you can ever count on with 100% certainty that that class will happen.
You can't. Yeah. You can't. And I just... We want people to know that, and we want people to like look at these dates ahead of time, be aware that it could change, but also, you know, if it's a big holiday coming up or if it's something, you know, like Memorial Day, I still don't think the right dates are on there.
Yeah.
And Labor Day, I still don't think the right dates are on there.
You know, even if you have the ability to move your dates, right? Like, what if you're getting moved and all of a sudden there's some major thing going on in New York that week and your $300 hotel room is now $800 because it's fashion week?
Yeah.
Or who knows?
That could be a
thing. And so, like, you know, like, that's why, like, you know,
be flexible, I guess, is what we're saying. Be aware,
yeah,
and be flexible.
And don't have your heart set on it.
Don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't want you to be heartbroken.
Peloton has a message for you, and it's put your titties away. I was this close to making that the headline.
Were you?
Of the episode.
You know, it's funny. I have a feeling this is actually from a male person, not a female
probably
person.
Yeah.
A person who identifies as male. I don't want to leave anyone out there.
Yeah.
But I don't know. What I do know is Peloton now has it spelled out in the US studio that not only can you not have glitter, and not only can they check your outfit and will check your outfit before you even enter the studio.
Right.
But also you must keep your shirt on the entire time.
Okay.
No skins.
No skins. It's not shirts versus skins.
It is not.
It's not eighth grade gym.
Yeah. And I kind of suspect what happened here was that somebody got hot in the studio and a guy just took a shirt off because he probably does it at home and didn't think a thing of it.
Right.
And they were like, mm-mm.
Yeah,
That's frowned upon. But, you know, back in the day, I think they did let people do that.
Yeah.
Back in the olden days of Peloton.
Right.
When you didn't have millions of people viewing, I think you could take your shirt off.
Yeah. I think it was just something they didn't even really think about.
Mm-hmm.
But
days is over.
I would love to know the story.
I know. I know. I would, too.
Because I also feel like they would get in a world of shit. Because my guess is it wasn't a guy with a six pack that took his shirt off, right? Like,
well, but I don't know that it, to me, it shouldn't matter.
It shouldn't matter. Like, it's either a rule or it's not.
Yes.
But I feel like if it's a fitness model type guy who took his shirt off, they probably would be like, turn a blind eye to it. Not now. It's a rule. But
yeah.
I mean, they wouldn't have created a rule for it.
Yeah, maybe.
That's my,
I don't know,
theory.
I don't know.
If you will.
It's I guess unless you were there, you don't know the full story. But
so if anybody was in a class where someone took their shirt off.
That never aired.
Shoot Crystal a message. We want to know.
I want to be added for this one.
Yes. She finally wants to be added. She hasn't wanted to be added since the Oliver Lee. So
I got those.
And she got them. She did get them.
Still got them. You never know when you're going to need to whip those out.
Well, now. We now have an experience tab or experiences tab.
We do.
On the navigation screen thing.
So eloquent.
That's what I'm here for.
So
remember when we started the show and you're like, you need to do the transition and then I'll talk about Peloton.
Now I'm like, okay, I got it.
Yeah. Do you still need me? Can I go upstairs and watch TV?
No, I still needed to bounce things off
of. Okay.
It would just be boring if it was just a talking head.
I think there are people out there who disagree.
Oh, well, anyway, so the experiences tab, what happened here is that Peloton on the equipment, whether it's the tread, the row, the bike, it had a place at the bottom where it would have like your classes.
Right.
And then over on the right, it said more. And when you clicked on more, that's when you went to your scenic classes. That's when you went to your lane break, if you had it, that kind of thing.
Right.
Well, now we have experiences, which I think is good because more could mean just about anything.
For sure.
And it's not really drawing the eye, right? Like
right.
If you're
this
if,
is more.
Yeah. Like if you're a person who's had a Peloton for a long time, we know to look there. We're like, ooh, that's new. Cause to us, It is new.
Right.
Still. Just like Emma Lovewell is still new, you know. But like if you are a new person to Peloton, if you're COVID or newer, it probably is like you may have clicked on them more. You also may not have,
right,
especially if you just got your equipment. So it makes sense. Also, I think they're setting this up for more to come.
Hmm. Like something for all the video game people that they hired.
Yes, okay. Exactly. Exactly. I think we're going to see more in the more, experiences.
There you go. Jess King was on the gram the other day in one of her stories, and an interesting thing that was spotted. She's wearing a sweatshirt, but it's co-branded with Peloton and Instagram.
Isn't that interesting?
It is.
Now, I suspect this kind of comes back from when Peloton started doing a lot of lives on Instagram, like a lot, like back in COVID times.
Right.
There was a lot of new.
Would a Peloton instructor really be wearing a 4-year-old hoodie?
I don't know. That's a good question. Fair question.
They get so much fashion pushed at them.
They do. And that white is bright white. Like that is not a scrubby,
been through the wash. Yeah.
Got a light tan going on, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sure that could also be attributed to whatever amazing
lighting
detergent she uses.
Oh, that's true. They probably get special
Peloton detergent. Well, I was thinking, like you said, they're always getting like stuff pushed at them, branding pushed at them. So like,
what are we saying? They don't. It's all dry clean. They're not.
They got people for that.
They don't actually have
washing
machines.
You don't think they really do their own laundry?
They just, everything's at the dry cleaners, even leggings.
I mean,
and underwear.
If I were getting paid what Peloton instructors are getting paid, there would be somebody hand washing every single thing that I would be wearing on camera.
But see, you wouldn't have to worry about it getting faded in the wash because you'd always be getting a new thing to wear on camera.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true. But I would like to think that there's like a museum in their houses of their favorite outfits. You know, no, for real, because especially Jess King.
Yeah.
You know, she's always getting these like outfits custom made by Brittany Allen. So in my head, you know how like actresses, famous actresses, like they have a whole room. I think I've been watching too much like Home Edit because I'm thinking of what's her face that played in like Sweet Home Alabama.
Reese Witherspoon.
Her.
Yeah.
She was on the Home Edit and like she had like a whole bunch of different outfits from all of her hit movies.
Here's Elle's pink
exactly
suit and,
yes, and but it was a whole, there was a whole setup to Elle's.
Yeah.
Like there was there was a lot of outfits for Elle.
Well, sure.
Including the dog in the purse. Like, I mean,
oh, that dog had to have gone out by now. That poor dog.
So so at any rate, that's what I expect.
Yeah.
That's happening in there.
But see, here's what I think probably really happens.
Yeah.
Is that like that all stuff all feels like it has historical significance.
Yeah.
But when you're in it,
you're just like, that was just an outfit I wore.
That's just something I wore one time.
I don't know. Maybe.
You know, like how old time TV, they would like tape over episodes and it's just lost to time because they were like, well, who's going to care about this?
These are the questions we need to know. So if anyone's been in Jess King's house lately, we're creepers.
Yeah.
And we want to know. We want to know.
And Jess King wouldn't know because she hasn't been in the closet in a long time.
Good for her.
So anyway, this could mean something or it could be an old sweatshirt. We just thought it was interesting.
Yeah, definitely.
So we thought we'd just give you a little overview of what we know about power zones on the tread.
What we know is that it is so close to happening. Listen, this has been in a beta test, and then Christine accidentally like spilled the tea that her husband was doing an FTP test on the tread, and it got pulled down like 10 seconds later, and then it reappeared this week. It's back. And the beta test ended.
Ooh.
They took it from like all the access that people had.
It's a gamma test now.
By the way, this was crazy. I got a message from a user who shall remain nameless. They had been doing the beta testing, and listen to this. They had done 4 different of these pacing tests because they're pacing tests, not FTP. I don't know. Maybe it's a little different.
Okay.
Anyway, when they took the beta test and they closed it out, They removed it from their profile.
So whenever it comes back, they have to take the test again?
Not only that, they've been working toward a milestone. Like, it literally deleted four of their classes that they were working toward a milestone. They did tell Peloton that's what was happening. I hope that Peloton puts them back. And they had some time for this person to hit their milestone. Like, they had some time. But still, like, can you, because usually what they do on those beta tests is they take them from the history, like nobody else can see them.
Right.
But it's still a class that shows up in your history. And This time, just gone.
Poof.
Just gone. This person was like, they were there and then they were gone.
Yes.
I think we are super, super close to this. Like very close. Weeks
One would
away.
Think if they're taking... If they're like scrubbing, They're kind of like getting ready to push out.
Yeah.
One would think.
I do. So. I think it's imminent. I think it's imminent.
So her workouts got ghosted. But what if you ghost your own workouts? That can be a problem.
It can.
And Dr. Jen's going to have tips for us on how not to do that coming up after this.
Good tips.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The Psychological Edge with Dr. Jen.
Joining us once again via the magic of ZoomTube is Dr. Jen Mann, licensed marriage, family, and child therapist and sports psychology consultant. You may know her from VH1's Couples Therapy with Dr. Jen or VH1's Family Therapy with Dr. Jen or her long-running radio show, The Dr. Jen Show. She's written four best-selling books, including The Relationship Fix, Dr. Jen's Six-Step Guide to Improving Communication, Connection, and Intimacy. It's Dr. Jen. Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Well, our question today comes from one of our listeners, Dana Courtney, and she says it's more of a statement. She's struggling with doing what she says she's going to do. So do you have any thoughts on how she can follow through with her plans?
And I'm assuming this is Peloton specific, that
it
like
is.
She makes a workout plan and then not following.
Yes.
Okay, so that tends to be a sign of one of a few things. One is you are overpromising yourself. You're not being realistic about either where you are in your fitness journey or where you are emotionally or how much time you have to offer your workouts. Or another possibility is you're picking things that you really don't like. You're following the shoulds. You're going like, oh, I should do that kind of workout, but it's not what you love. And another kind of spinoff of that is that you're doing the shoulds and it's all the shoulds as opposed to a balance of, you guys know me, you know, I am all about the music-based workout. Like, I will take any instructor's class, even if they're not my absolute favorite person, if they play Billy Joel or they play 80s. Like, I'm a sucker for those things and I'll do anything. And it sounds like this person is not following what she loves. And you have to have a good balance. And I know Robin talks a lot about, and so do a lot of the other instructors, do the thing that you don't want to do. And I do believe in that. But I think that that should be 20% of your workout tops, maybe 10 to 20%, as opposed to 100%. And I think this person is probably doing a lot of things she doesn't absolutely love. Then the other thing is sometimes that happens when we're burnt out. I tend to change my workout every 3 to 6 months, depending on how burnt out I get on it, how quickly. And so it's really important to kind of vary it. And like variety for me, like a subtle change, like a lower body weights class with a lower body Pilates class is like a huge change for me that completely perks up my workout and makes me feel like I'm doing something completely different. Like right now, for probably 4 years, I've done my long run on Saturday And right now I'm doing a boot camp on Saturday, a long run on Tuesday. And it's like earth shattering for me. It's completely changed the way I see my workout. So I think that this is someone who needs to shake things up a little bit and also might benefit from having some advisement from a trainer or someone like you, Crystal, who knows how to put together a really balanced workout. Because also another thing that tends to happen is when we make our own workouts, sometimes we focus on one thing. Like, let's say you don't like your leg. So you overdo the legs and then you dread your workouts and you're sore. And then it's hard for you to get back to what you're doing. So sometimes it's that you haven't made the right workout for you. So I really caution this person, and I think a lot of people are in this boat, to really look at what's going on that I'm not following through. And again, like I'm also a big, talked about this a lot on the show, is making small achievable goals. I think it is better to underpromise yourself and overdeliver than the reverse, because so much of what we're doing as athletes and as people who love Peloton is we are creating our own self-concept as an athlete. And so if you're someone who is newer to Peloton or newer to working out, if you start out saying, I'm going to work out 7 days a week for an hour a day, and I'm going to follow this plan. Well, first of all, that's not realistic. You're going to injure yourself. You're going to hate your workouts. You're going to overdo it. It's going to be a really negative experience. But if instead you say, okay, I'm going to work out for 10 minutes, 3 times a week, you achieve that. You go, oh, I'm someone who follows through with what I promised myself. Then you build on that. And then that affects how you see yourself. And you see yourself then as someone who follows through with what she says she's going to do. And that's really good for your self-concept and for your confidence.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Breaking things down. Like I love the way you like put it into like buckets for people to follow. Very helpful.
Size.
Yes, exactly.
I was thinking, do the things, only do like 20% of things you don't want to do. Except for me, 100% of it should be things I don't want to do because I don't want to do any of it.
You're a special case,
yes.
Tom. You're a special case.
I'm an asterisk.
And look, one of the things that we talked about on the show is that when people are first starting out working out, and Tom, even though you've now been working out for a couple of years, I still consider you to be someone who's newer at this. Mm-hmm. And it takes a long time to get the endorphins and the serotonin that people hear other athletes talk about. When you are first learning to run, when you're first getting on the treadmill, when you're first taking a spin class, you don't get that. You get it. Instead, it's hard, it's painful, and it oftentimes sucks. So it's especially important to pick instructors you like, music you like, workouts that you like, because you don't get those chemical highs until you're at a certain level of athleticism. And that can be really frustrating that you hear other people talk about it and you're like, why don't I get this? And that can really affect your ability to follow through with yourself.
I'm like, I want to get high. Where's
Yeah. Personally, I found the best highs come from running, but it's like you have to do it so much before you get that, like, and it's the road there is such a painful road.
Literally.
But when you get that first runner's high, you're like, this is a little addictive.
Well, I will take your word for it.
Yeah. And your wife's.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for all that. Until next time, where can people find you?
On social media at Dr. Jen Mann, two ends on Jen, two ends on Mann.
Perfect.
Instructors in the news.
Jermaine Johnson is going to be a father.
This is our first pillow instructor dad.
Is it?
It is.
Okay.
And it's our first UK baby.
That we know of.
Well, like that became a father while being a pillow instructor. And he is our first British instructor to have a baby.
Okay.
So he is setting all kinds
Look
of records.
That. You know, he's not having the baby.
No, but he's still the dad. And right. I mean, why would you say he's having the baby? Like he was part of that,
right.
Obviously, but
Clearly.
he's not the one.
He's not doing the heavy lifting.
No.
Yeah.
His significant other is. But he made Peloton history. He is going to make the timeline for that.
Oh,
so just saying.
Look at that.
Pretty exciting. Oh. Pretty exciting.
You've been watching Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Sure have.
The New York Half Marathon was last weekend.
It was.
And Peloton was all over it.
They were. You know, don't forget New York Road Runners and Peloton have...
A partnership.
That is the word I was looking for. And so this was obviously part of it. And Bex Gentry did the commentary, but she did the commentary for ABC.
Oh.
And there were lots of Peloton people there.
Well, for starters, Kristen McGee was there.
Yes. Very exciting. Ran her first race ever and managed to create so many rumors that she's next on the tread. She's going to be teaching on the tread because she's a yoga instructor and she's been running her tushy off for a long time now.
Right.
So if she's running races, she must be an instructor. I am not saying that is true. I am saying that is the rumor that she started.
Gotcha.
But congrats to Kirsten. To Kristen, not Kirsten.
I know. It's
Kristen.
Hard to... Yeah.
Well, we spelled it Kirsten on here. So that was, I don't know who, I think it might have been me. But in my defense, Kirsten Ferguson is in the next line. So
gotcha. Yes.
Anyway, congratulations to Kristen McGee. That's really special.
But she was not the only person from Peloton at the half marathon.
She sure wasn't. Rad Lopez, Selena Samuela, and Tunde, and Kirsten Ferguson. Kirsten, whichever.
Yeah.
They all ran the New York City Marathon half. Now, also starting rumors, Tunde. People are obsessed. I don't care how many times she says she's not going to be a tread instructor. They are insistent that she is. Like, why else would she be doing all this running if she's not going to be becoming an instructor?
I think it's great that Tunde ran this half marathon because I know how difficult running the full marathon was. And so like she, you know, had that moment that went viral, like crossing the finish line of almost not crossing the finish line. And so to turn around a very short time later and do a half marathon, like I could see a version of events where she's like, I did that. And it's not something I enjoy, so I'm not going to do it again. And I'll focus on, like, not in a shitty way, but just like, this is not my jam, and I'm going to go do something else. And so to turn around and run a half, I think it's great.
Not only that, but she was fresh as a daisy when she crossed the finish line.
Yeah.
Like, it looked like she was just, you know, out for a stroll. Like, she made it look so easy.
Yeah.
Cut two. That's why we got rumors. Why else would you do that?
Right.
If you weren't going to be an instructor.
Yeah.
Again, not saying that is true. I'm just telling you what the people are saying.
Yeah.
So congrats to all the runners.
Absolutely. Emma Lovewell is doing a live and in-person cooking class.
She is. She's teaming up with another person that I was unfamiliar with, but she is
Elise Cooking Lady.
Yes.
I believe is her legal name.
That is totally her legal name. And she is doing an honest to God in-person cooking class. And you too can take part. I mean, if there's any left.
Yeah.
It's probably sold in like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
But they were selling for $30. So.
Well, that seems like quite the bargain.
I mean, I would agree.
Yeah.
I would agree. And it was like an hour and a half. This was in her newsletter that she had out there. Emma's newsletter.
Right.
And I you could do that in person. Now, you also can take the virtual class. You know, now I'm wondering if maybe it's only virtual. Like maybe you're not in person with her and that explains why it's only
$30.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I think we're second
guessing the whole in-person thing.
I am. Yeah. Like, and the reason I thought that they were in person is because it says she will be joining me in a live cooking class. But the other part of it that probably should have been my clue is joining her in her home kitchen.
Oh.
So no, we cannot join Emma Lovewell in her home kitchen.
Yeah, that seems like she's not having total strangers come over to her kitchen.
I think that would be a bad idea.
Yeah.
But you can join virtually on April 13th at 4 p.m. Eastern.
If you're going to her house, that's at least $35. At least.
Yeah. Oh, that's hilarious.
So an interesting sighting, not necessarily apropos of anything, just found it interesting that at one of the Puma stores, they have an image of Alex Toussaint, not shocking. He's a Puma ambassador.
Right.
But in the image, there's also Peloton stuff. He's on a Peloton. He's wearing Peloton branded merch.
I think it's also interesting that this was like the main window of a Puma store.
Yeah.
Like this was what they were using to draw people in. So not only was it he's wearing Peloton clothes, but they're using Alex to draw people into a Puma store. That right. just seems interesting
yeah.
to me. That says next level with this partnership that I did yeah. not realize was out there.
I think it also says a lot about the recognizability of Peloton instructors that they're front and center on the store.
Yeah. And again, definitely sets them apart from other exercise. Like we talk all the time about like Apple Fitness. You are not going to recognize an Apple Fitness. And that's not any disrespect to an Apple Fitness.
They just haven't permeated the cultural zeitgeist
in the same way.
Yeah.
And not all the Peloton instructors have, to be fair.
No, so, but a lot of them have.
yes, absolutely. I mean, honestly, I'll be real honest. I don't even know it's a good thing. I really don't.
Yeah.
Like, I think we have gone too far.
Like, now we're seeing backlash.
We are.
Yeah.
We are. I think it's starting to be like, we got Enough. It. We get Enough. It. Yeah. yeah. I mean, at least for Robin. I don't know. Maybe with Alex, it never will. Because, hey.
Who's to say?
We will find out eventually.
Peloton Artist Collaboration.
Well, we have lots of music news this week.
Lots going on.
In relation to Peloton. First item up for bid, a Peloton Def Jam collaboration.
First of all, I am so upset that Def Jam has been around for 40 years mm-hmm. because that means that I am getting so old.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You are getting old.
It says they've been recording since 1984. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, congrats to them. Because they have truly, truly changed the music industry.
For sure.
But yeah, I'm not okay. This will be interesting, though. So they're doing three different classes this week that are going to celebrate these classes or celebrate this accomplishment.
Yeah.
There's going to be one with Jermaine. These are all 2 or 20 minutes and 1 is 30 minutes. There's going to be a full body with Jermaine, and then there's going to be a run with Kirsten Ferguson, and then there's going to be a 30-minute ride with Robin. So all of those are taking place this week, and they are all live. So definitely enjoy the music.
We also have an artist series from Troy Sivan, whoever that is. He has not been around for 40 years, so I don't know.
No, he looks so young in this picture. I truly don't know anything about him other than I think that he is German in nature. Like, I think that he has some classes that take place. These classes will be in German. So that makes me think he is a German artist. So
gotcha.
There is with Jeffrey McEachern, there's a 20-minute run. There is going to be a ride with Cody, 30 minutes. And then there's a 30-minute run with Maddie and then a 20-minute row with Katie. So that's only one German class. I don't know. These are English names, One of Your Girls and Supernatural and Strawberries and Cigarettes. Strawberries and Cigarettes. I'm intrigued.
By the strawberries or the cigarettes?
It's just the combo.
Okay.
It's the combo, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, it's given me like Jack Johnson banana pancake vibes. Yeah.
Strawberry cigarettes is what people had to do before vaping. It's the only way you get them flavored.
There you go.
Your only flavor option was menthol.
Well, what I do know for sure is that Troy, like Def Jam, makes me feel old because I'm pretty sure I'm old enough to be his mother.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then also we have our first ever Peloton Studios residency.
Yeah, fascinating, right? So we had talked last week about how Peloton had, accidentally posted a little story about Defected, or maybe it was Defected actually that posted it, and then they took it right down.
Right.
I just thought this was super fascinating because they are bringing live DJ rides to London.
Okay.
So we have DJ John Michael and Peloton London is getting live DJ classes, and they will be from Defected records.
I'm sure DJ John Michael was like, I'll do both. Fly me back and forth.
He's like, I totally would do that.
He'd be like Phil Collins at Live Aid.
And I don't know that we're going to see this forever because it says that it's a residency.
Right.
Obviously, that means a determined amount of time.
A period of time, but not necessarily permanent.
Yeah. Right. And it says it kicks off this week on the 21st, and it's going to showcase 6 cycling classes. And then there's going to be 3 DJ rides, and then, additionally, 3 DJ rides long, yes, 3 DJ rides. Just, I the sentence totally baffled me. My bad. And then the DJs are Ariel Free, Ferric Dawn, and Monkey.
Hmm. Do they spell it with 2 E's?
No, they spelled it M-O-N-K-I.
We all know you spell monkey with 2 E's. That's crazy.
And according to Gwen Bethel Riley, who has long been Peloton's SVP of music and content, she was super excited. And she says, at Peloton, we're committed to content innovation. With this residency, we're creating an immersive and entertaining experience that transports members straight to a defected club night. That sounds funny.
Yeah.
too funny.
And, stick around, because coming up after this, we're going to give you some new Peloton celebrity sightings. So sit tight. If you're looking to avoid carbs, it's always a challenge trying to find bread that fits in with your keto lifestyle.
Right, because you want to make sure that it tastes good and you want to make sure it has good ingredients. So I think Hero Bread does both.
Especially when you're in the store, you are overwhelmed with bread choices.
Yes.
And I've had other breads before that claim to have low net carbs, and you are certainly sacrificing taste, texture, size.
Yes.
None of that with Hero Bread.
No, because sometimes on the ones that have the low net carbs, they have like no substance to it.
It's like eating air.
It is. And Hero Bread actually really tasted good, and it felt like a solid piece of bread. Like, I did not feel like I was giving up something.
I was surprised at how big each slice of bread was. Here's the real test of a piece of bread. I didn't make a sandwich with these. I just had toast.
Which you love, because you have toast almost every day.
I do. It was the best textured bread of this sort that I've ever had. And if you're doing the math, it's 0 to 1 grams of net carbs, 0 grams sugar, and high in fiber.
So don't give up being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order.
Go to hero.co and use code TCO at checkout.
That's TCO at HERO.CO.
Peloton celebrity sightings.
So Chris Everett, tennis legend Chris Everett, is currently battling cancer,
which I did not realize till I read this.
I did not realize either.
But ovarian cancer, if you were curious.
Yeah. And but she is doing Peloton during her chemo period. Well, she's probably doing it before that, but she's continuing to do it because she says it's reducing her side effects.
Yeah, that's amazing. And we have heard this from other people in the Peloton community who have experienced chemo, that it helps with their side effects. I remember Paige Davis said that really kept her going to be able to do the Peloton during this time. So hopefully that means that Chris is doing well and that she will continue to do well.
Absolutely. The headline on this, this is irritating me. It's a new trend I've noticed with clickbaity headlines where they don't tell you who it's about. So it says tennis legend is doing Peloton during chemo. Like, it doesn't, like in the past it would say Chris Everett is doing, but they want you to click through to find out who the tennis legend
they do. And Peloton is enough to get the clicks, so they don't need both. That's why they do it.
I'm
on to their SEO tricks.
Oh, it's so irritating. Like,
at least they tell you you didn't have to go through 20 slides before you got there.
That is true. But yeah, there was one I saw today where it was like, longtime classic rock band is doing blah, blah, blah. And I was like, they're all long time.
Like, if they're classic rock,
if they're classic rock,
by definition,
they're all long time classic rock. If you're not a long time classic rock band, that's what we call a rock band.
Do they even have rock bands anymore?
Barely. So you basically got Greta Van Fleet and Mammoth. But stop.
Never even heard of Mammoth.
That's Wolfgang Van Halen's band.
Oh.
But stop letting AI write your headlines. Ugh.
Facts.
And one that will mean something to people in the UK, but probably not to people in the States. But Amanda Holden recently posted to Instagram a video of herself making a margarita on a Peloton bike.
So she is from Britain's Got Talent.
Correct.
That's all I know.
That's all I know because okay. we don't watch it over here.
We do not.
I mean, it's probably on like BBC America or
something.
Yeah,
but we wouldn't watch it. We don't watch the US American version.
One. Yeah. Like, so, but yeah. But yeah, so if you're over there, then that's probably important to you, or at least you've heard of her.
New content.
So it is time for the TCO Top 5 where, hang on. It is time for the bingo call out number 2.
Let's see if I can do a drum roll this time. Is that better?
I guess.
Oh.
It's more of a trill.
Okay. I don't know. That's all I got.
Yeah.
All right. That just sounds like you're tapping.
It's because I am.
Anyway, bingo number 2, Katie Wong.
There we go. Okay. Now the TCO Top 5 where...
Let's do it.
We make you do our work for us. You tell us...
No. It's not for us. It's by the listeners because just because they're my favorite class, this doesn't mean they're everybody else's
favorite
class.
That's true. They just be getting the same 3 instructors every week. So.
Exactly.
So...
try to mix it up, people.
Here we go. Item number 1, your favorite Peloton pre-run warm-up. That's
okay,
hard to say.
So depending on your time zone, this could have been on 3.6 or 3.7, but that's when it took place. It was a 5-minute pre-run warm-up with John Hosking. So Mindy Jensen says, this pre-run warm-up is perfect. I've been getting better at adding these, which is important, Mindy. Good job. She usually just grabs one she hasn't done before. Needless to say, this will be my go-to. I think I've done it 4 times now. John works on single leg activation and balance and includes other moves to get the hips and ankles lubricated. All perfect moves to get the body ready for a run. That is great. I will also say Adrian's got an amazing one that Nikki told me about, and that one activates your glutes as well. So that one's a good one too.
Okay. I'm a fan of the lubrication. Coming in at number 2, your favorite Peloton ride.
Okay, this was a huge crowd favorite. This was the live DJ ride with Jess King from March 15th, celebrating Jess King's 10 years. And Mike Davern said, such a great vibe with stories and a nice surprise at the end. I'm loving these anniversary rides. I don't want to give any surprises away, but it was announced that John Michael was dropping a remix. I hope I'm saying it like the hip kids of Adana Summer song on that ride. Nicely done. Great fun ride. And we knew that because yes. we talked about that last week.
We did. Number 3, favorite Peloton run.
Okay, so this was a 45-minute classic rock run.
Okay.
With
Long time classic. Yeah.
And this was Bex Gentry from March 16th. Becky Gomez said, Bex Gentry's 45-minute classic rock run from Saturday was great. The playlist was so fun. She added a lot of Reese commentary to keep it moving quickly. And I thought it was just the right amount of difficulty. By the way,
yes.
We've got Guns N' Roses, Bon Jovi, The Beatles, and AC/DC in that playlist.
Okay. Number 4, a favorite Peloton intervals and arms ride.
Okay, so listen, we haven't had a lot of these lately, so people were definitely primed for this. And it was with Robin from March 16th, and she wore yellow.
Oh, dear.
Need I say more? Trish Lalonde said, if you do one ride this week, do this one. It had everything. Hill pushes, Tabata, strength, great music too. She wore yellow. Jessica Sanford added, it was pure fire. One of her best classes in a while.
Okay. Well, we don't have an unstackable this week.
We do not.
That can be your unstackable.
That's true.
Because she wore yellow, and even I know that.
Yeah, that's true. Good point.
So finally, number 5. Spoiler, it's not an unstackable. Your favorite Peloton tread boot camp.
This is Jocelyn Thompson's Rule first solo appearance on the TCO Top 5.
Oh.
This is from March 17th, 30-minute boot camp, upper body. And let's see, listener Little Nuggets Mama's 13. She said Jocelyn's 30-minute upper body tread boot camp because it was upper body and you could push the tread portions more. I also love her. And in my eyes, she does no wrong. That's true. Jocelyn's amazing. Okay. Love her.
We also take a look at this week at Peloton.
Yes, we do. So much going on this week. This is all content related as well, if you guys haven't heard this before. So let's see here. Tabata. So we talked about this. This was going to be a new feature from Logan.
I hate to mansplain, but it's Tabata.
No, it's not. Listen, this is a new class series from Logan. It's all high intensity cardio and strength intervals on the mat. First two classes are out now and a new one happens on this week. Happened. All of the classes are 20 minutes long. I don't think you want more than 20 minutes of Tabata. Not with Logan. And he's wearing yellow in this picture. I'm just saying.
Is there a correlation? Does he do that too?
I don't know.
Oh, dear.
I think it's just Logan is intense. That's gotcha. Why we have hashtag death by Logan.
Well, if you need something not so intense, we've got Disney Yoga Flow.
Yes, this is a 30-minute yoga flow taught by Chelsea Jackson Robertson. It's going to take place on March 22nd. Did I say Robertson?
You did.
Yes, this is a 30-minute live Disney Yoga Flow taught by Chelsea Jackson Roberts this Friday on the 22nd. And don't forget, there's an entire Disney collection, so you can get lots of different classes.
Okay, put your Mickey ears on. You got a bike boot camp?
Yes, Jess Sims on the schedule, a live 60-minute advanced bike boot camp. It's going to be full body, took place on March 19th. She's been spending a lot of time courtside, so our basketball fan Darcy, who wrote this, is yes. hoping that she spilled the tea on the NCAA tournament in between reps. Let's go Tar Heels. Don't know what any of that means.
I have no idea. I cannot help you.
Okay.
Okay. And then finally, this is fascinating. I guess they're going to be letting some Echelon instructors in for the Douche collection.
No. But that's Deutsch.
Oh.
I can understand the confusion, though. Yeah, like if it was Douche collection.
Yeah, I was like, what an interesting cross promotion. First Lululemon and now Echelon with the Douche collection.
This is cool, though. Peloton has added a Deutsch collection, which gathers all their German programs, collections and special classes in one place on the bike and tread. So you can look at collections and find all the German content in one place, which is great.
And all the songs are from Musical Youth.
I don't get it.
Okay. Pass the Deutsche on the left hand side.
I got nothing.
It's a big 80s song. You would know it if you heard it.
OK,
I think.
All right.
But maybe not. And that scares me a little bit.
Well, bet. Scares me too. That means you're older than I am.
Well, we already knew that.
Yes, but I'm feeling very old this week.
Bex Gentry is doing a 75-minute pop run.
She sure is. March 30th. It is going to be 75 beautiful minutes of running with Bex. Live. Can't wait.
There is also a treasure hunt. There's a bunny on the image of the treasure hunt, but it wasn't called an Easter egg hunt.
No, it was not.
It's a spring treasure hunt.
It's super fun, though. Maybe because there's Easter eggs and they wanted to kind of subtly put that in. Also, it's spring and Easter, but they didn't want to be religious.
Yeah, that's my guess, is they didn't want to seem overtly religious. Easter has
For
not
the best.
Has not been as secularized as Christmas has.
It has not.
Yeah.
It has not. But this is so cool. Okay, so Peloton just announced this today, and it's cool. You take a class, right? And then the instructor during one of these classes gives you a riddle.
Okay.
And then to solve the riddle, you have to go take old classes to figure it out.
Oh, look at that.
It's a little treasure
hunt. Yeah.
Because you go through the old classes and figure out the new answers.
Okay.
I love it. I love the creativity. I love that they are making people go take old classes by doing this. It's a good way to hit that. And it's just something totally different and fun. So speaking of Echelon, when will we see this on Echelon? Nah, this is great, though. So it starts today, and it's a series of live and encore classes that are going to be through March 30th. So they will be dropping the riddles. Got to look for them.
Okay.
In case you missed it,
St. Patrick's Day is behind us, but they did all sorts of celebrating of St. Patrick's Day. So if you want to check it out, here's what you missed. As I look at you,
I know you're
to
like,
say what is missed.
What did I
We miss? Just said earlier, I do the segues and then you actually have useful information.
Well, they had, for the first time, they've never done this where they had classes like a specific day of classes. I am not saying there has not been a rogue St. Patrick's Day class here and there.
Right.
Because there has. But this was like four honest to God dedicated classes for St. Patrick's Day.
Okay.
First time that I am aware of. There was a ride, a yoga flow, a run, and a walk plus run with Tobias. And that one is in German. I did take the 20-minute run with Jocelyn. And I can say that it was all Irish bands. There was some U2.
U2, Dropkick Murphys.
No, but she did hit some Sinead O'Connor. She started off the thing with Nothing Compares to You, which given the mood I've been in this week was like brought the tears right on. Like I was bawling out of the gate, which is tough to run and cry because I was outside, you know.
Yeah.
But like it was a great class. It was very enjoyable.
Well, awesome.
Yeah.
Peloton birthdays.
And we only got one birthday this week. It's from Bex Gentry on March 27th.
Happy birthday to Bex Gentry.
Happy birthday. And stick around because coming up after this, we're going to talk to David Levinson.
Checking in with the Peloton community.
Joining us today via the magic of ZoomTube is David Levinson. Hey, David, how's it going?
Hi.
I'm good. Hi, Crystal. How's it going?
Good. How are you doing? Did you have a good Monday? Yeah, I don't know.
I did. I was traveling. I'm actually in New York right now as we speak.
Nice, nice.
And I have a conference to go to the next couple of days. But I'm fortunately not going to make it to the studio while I'm here this trip.
Oh, bummer. I'm sorry to hear that. Well, how did Peloton originally come into your life? Like, how did you find it and decide that it was a good thing to try for you?
We actually got them at work. Like we were building out our office in 2016 and we put like a little gym in and our office manager was like, hey, I think we're going to put these Peloton bikes. And I had no idea. I'd never heard of it. And so, yeah, we ended up getting them. And then about that same time, my wife started doing Flywheel in Dallas. And so, and I'd started doing Peloton. So there's already this like Flywheel Peloton.
Mixed marriages can be very difficult. Yeah. So.
We know. We've got Android iPhone in our house, so it gets crazy.
Wow. Yeah. No, I don't think we could live. Who has the iPhone? You or Tom?
She does. She has the iPhone.
Yeah. Okay. And Tom, you're the tonal guy also, right?
That is true. Yes, that is true.
So I'm the iPhone Peloton, so I'm definitely siding with Crystal in this relationship.
Most people do.
Hilarious.
And then, really started doing it at work. And then we started doing Flywheel also. And I was kind of using the Peloton to get better for the Flywheel classes, which were live. And and then just as things progressed, just really enjoyed it, really liked being able to just kind of hop on whenever. And this was 2016. So you could hop on a live class and there might've been like 40 or 50 people on it. It was just so different. Yeah, I know. I hate saying it, but it's great that it's kind of evolved into what it was, but it was so nice when it was like just really more like an intimate group of people doing it.
Yeah, but if it was still that, it wouldn't exist.
But it's true. Yeah. It's like a double-edged sword. Yeah. It's such a double-edged sword. So like once you guys decided to get the bike, was your wife like, no, I'm going to stick with my Flywheel? Or was she like on board or did she want that Flywheel at home?
I was like, is she one of the three people that did Flywheel at home?
Yeah, the Flywheel at home. No. I mean, we were kind of on board, but I had the bikes in the office and then we didn't buy our bike until like 2018. And then we ended up getting the Tread in 2021. But no, I mean, will be nice to have at home. Maybe she'll start doing more Peloton classes. And she didn't. And then Flywheel went kaput. And now she does do a lot of the Tread classes, though. So that was a good purchase as well. And we were lucky. We got it right before the recall for the Tread Plus.
Okay.
So we were like right in the middle of COVID, like right before they took them off the market. Still, that's probably the best purchase we've had. It's just such a great treadmill.
I love it. Like I will never let them take it. Like it's gonna
insane.
Yeah. It's gonna die in my basement. It's gonna die a happy death.
Exactly.
Hopefully of old age.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So she's partially converted to Peloton.
Yeah, she is. And the big thing is just kind of like the community. I've met so many people. So like next week a huge group of runners are doing the Vegas half.
Yeah.
And so we're going and she's going, she's not running, but she's going, she's made friends. We did it last year and she's friends with a few of the people. And she loves going to the studio. She actually likes when we come to New York and are able to go and take classes live. I think that's just fun for anyone who... So she says she's not in the cult, but she is a fan.
But she's a sympathizer.
I'm fully embedded into the Peloton cult.
All right. So now, what about with you? Do you still ride the bike a lot? Or are you doing mostly the tread?
Like, you know, so mainly running now. Bike is all for just kind of maintenance and kind of days when I'm not running and just kind of for a lower impact workout. And that's really changed over the last probably year and a half or so. Like I would do races and train for that. And then I would take time off and maybe do a power zone challenge and then kind of supplement maybe and take a time off from running. But like, I would say over the last two-ish years, like running has been my main focus, and I'm really working hard to hopefully make a run at getting a Boston qualifying time, but I have a ways to go to get there. So running is my primary focus right now.
That's exciting. That's very exciting. Have you always been a person who's active? Like, are you, I feel like there's two types of people. Like, there's those that were high school and grade school athletes. They've always been an athlete. And then there's like people like me that came to this later on in life. Where do you fall in this category?
Yes. I was not a high school athlete.
Okay.
I was like 5'3" and 100 pounds in high school. And I kind of sprouted up a few more inches in college, thankfully. So there wasn't much. I mean, I played tennis, but not just kind of more on my own and for fun. I went to business school. I went to Duke in the early 2000s. I graduated in 2002. And a group of my friends were like, oh, let's sign up for a marathon and we can all train together and it'll be fun. And so a bunch of people signed up for like Marine Corps. I signed up for New York, the lottery, and I actually got in.
Wow.
And then that summer, I hurt my ankle playing basketball. And so I didn't train with everyone. I saw them training and then I deferred a year because I was injured. And so then I ended up training all by myself in Dallas the year after, getting up at like 4 a.m. to beat the heat. And then I ran the marathon and then I hung up my running shoes for like 5 years. And I was like, I am done running. It was a lot. I mean, it was an amazing experience. Running New York is just incredible. And I've gone from never running a 5K to training for a marathon, which I was supposed to do with a bunch of friends. And it wasn't nearly as much fun. But it's kind of one of those things, like, once you get in your mind, you're going to do it. You kind of want to go all the way through it. And then really, we have twin girls who are now sophomores in college. But it was kind of after they were born, and it was hard to go to the gym. And it just became really easy just to hop out the door and go run for like 30 minutes. And that was probably kind of like 2008, 2009, when I kind of really started running again after a pretty long break. And then was doing half. So we'd do like one half a year. We lived in Memphis at the time. And the St. Jude half is just amazing. You run through the hospital campus and it was just a great race. And then had some injuries after that. And then so again, stopped running till like 2017, 2018. And that's kind of when we were doing the Peloton. And we belonged to a gym also, but then the Peloton tread classes started and I was like, oh, I'll get back into running. And then a few people in our office were running the Dallas half. And so I was like, oh, I know I could do that. Like, cause I'd done them before, but I was like, and so that's when I kind of really started picking up and running. So it's been definitely a late bloomer. That's probably a long way to get to an answer. Sorry.
Still started a lot earlier than I did. So don't worry about that.
Yeah. But it's also fascinating how you keep drifting away and coming back.
It is. Yeah. It is. Yeah. What do you think keeps pulling you back into running?
I just really enjoy it. And it was really kind of, it was a combination of two things, I think. It was one through Peloton. Like when the pandemic hit, like all these virtual Facebook groups started popping up. And so like you'd be on an instructor page and then, oh, let's do a happy hour even like on the tread. Like, and so like started meeting like people who were just like also into running. And so got into like one group it was Tread Mafia. I don't know if you're familiar.
I actually am not familiar. Is that some kind of offshoot of Mila Mafia? I don't think
it
is.
Before.
Cause that would have happened before.
It was before. It was a bunch of people who we were on these like tread happy hours that just kind of started hanging out. And then it's not like, I don't think it still exists, but we would plan all, we would do our runs. We would plan like a weekly long run on the weekends. And so like a bunch would be like four or five, you know, it was probably a group of like 25 or 30 people on a group chat. And when we were doing these runs, I was just like, oh, I just really like being out there by myself, having the time and running. And that's when I shifted from just kind of really being like, oh, let's do a half or two a year to like, okay, now I'm going to start training for marathons again. And our group, actually, there were five of us who ran the Moab 55K together back in 2021. And so that's kind of really what kind of set me back on this running journey. Then that's kind of where everything got like really kickstarted for me.
Is the Moab 55K, is that the one that like takes place at night? Like two, like don't you?
No, this is just, yeah, it's during the day. It's a trail. They call it a trail, but it's really a mountain run. It was close to like 45.
Wow.
100 feet of elevation change. It took like 7 hours and 45 minutes. It was,
woof.
It was pretty fraught for me. My one friend and the others did it a little quicker, but it was during the day. It was also, it was one of those things where like we got there on like a Wednesday and weather was perfect, like mid 50s, sunny. We went to like Canyonlands. We went to Arches over the few days, just kind of also get acclimated. And then race day started out in the low 30s with rain, then sleet, and temperatures dropping. It was so miserable. Me and my buddy were laughing about how miserable it was.
You never know how it's going to be on race day. You just never know.
So exactly. But it was just an amazing experience. And it's also kind of crazy because it was like six of us ended up renting a house together that I'd never met in person. We'd just been on virtual. My wife thought I was a lunatic. She thought I was going to either get kidnapped or like you are like, and it wasn't a good example for the kids. Like,
I know. It's virtually. We've been there too. It's like, I know. Yeah. I know we tell you not to meet strangers on the internet, but Peloton people are different. I don't know why. Yeah. I mean, they used to be. It was such a small group. Now there's so many people. Not to say the Peloton people are now bad, but like you still need to be careful.
But mathematically, there has to be a few murderers mixed in.
Exactly. We're going to have like a Peloton version of Dateline. Yeah. Like it's going to get crazy someday.
It's going to happen. Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, you guys probably see it all the time. Like another bad example. Like we had some drama in the group. And I mean, you get six people who've never been together living in a house. There's some stronger personalities.
It's what reality shows are based around.
Yeah,
exactly. It could have easily been a reality show. But then my kids are like, because they're just seeing like, there's just drama. And so like, my kids are like in high school and they're like, doesn't that go away when you're adult? And they're like, no, actually,
it never does. Going.
No, it gets worse because now you can bring in lawyers.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so true.
But yeah, so, and then that really set me on my way. And then like some of those people that are also my closest friends, not even just Peloton friends, but done more races with them. Me and my wife have gone away with them. We did a Mexico trip with three other couples. And so, it was, yeah, so, I mean, I think that's the one thing that kind of maybe gets lost is like how just great the community is here and how you just meet all sorts of people. And I think the running community just in general is like that.
Yeah.
And like, Tom, as you said, you know, there are bad apples, but fortunately I haven't met too many of them so
more
far.
Often than not, they're crab apples. Yeah.
Just look for the green ones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned, we were talking offline, that you have a goal to do all of the world majors. So where are you in that goal right now?
Fortunately, two. I did New York twice, and I've done London. And then I applied for Chicago lottery, for Berlin lottery, for Tokyo lottery, and haven't gotten into any of those three. And then I'm working with another running coach, a non-Peloton coach, to actually try to get to this Boston qualifying time. I'm going to do Grandma's Marathon in June, which is supposedly a fast course. So I'm hoping I've got like 23 minutes I need to knock off my PR. Ooh. And I'm 52. So it's a real stretch goal, but I'm kind of excited to get started back at doing it and just see what happens. If not, I'll go the charity route. And one of my daughters is actually in school in Boston. So I want to do it while she's still up there. She's a sophomore.
Yeah.
At Berklee College of Music. So I've got kind of 2 years to get up there.
clock's ticking.
So I'm on a wait list now through a touring company to try to get in Berlin this year. I'll do the charity route if I have to, but I'm hoping to just either get into the lottery or qualify for like Boston and get there. And then it'll also kind of feed into doing all seven continents, because I went to Tokyo, would give me Asia. And then I've done US, Europe, and Antarctica. So like, I got the hardest one out of the
whole way. You've already done Antarctica?
Wait, when did you do Antarctica? Hold on. You can't just gloss over that. Like, it's all cash. Like, whoa.
I did Antarctica in December, back last December. It was one of the most incredible experiences of my entire life. Just being there was unbelievable.
Only let 100 people into that marathon? Like, it's super small, right? Isn't it?
Yeah, it was 66 people race. Everyone finished, which was amazing. And it's people from all over the world. There are only like 20, 25 of us from the U.S. that did it. Wow.
Well, by virtue of definition, they would be from all over the world, because I don't think anybody lives in Antarctica.
That's a good point. They don't. The base camp that we're at is only open during the Antarctic summer. And then they pack everything up. They have a few permanent things there, and then they move out. But it was incredible. I mean, you're really at the end of the world.
There's nothing.
What's the weather like? Because I mean, I know it sounds dumb, but like people think Alaska is always cold, and it's not always cold. Is it Antarctica always cold? I just assume that it is.
It was their summer. The ambient temperature was like in the 20s, right? Low 20s. But the wind, like if there's any wind at all, it just blows off. Like, so when we arrived in Antarctica, we arrived at like, we fly in from South America, from Punta Arenas, which is on the southern tip, the Straits of Magellan. And there's like an ice runway that you land on, which was pretty cool.
It sounds terrifying. Go on.
Yeah. And then they take you by like these big snow plow thing, like converted with like a cab on it, to the base camp, which was probably like a 20-25 minute ride. And there was no wind, and between all the sunlight and just reflect, like you could literally walk around with no coat on and be, I mean, you still had like a base layer and like a jacket, whatever, but you didn't need like your big, like when you picture Antarctica, like your big parka, and you did have to have like your eyes covered all time, because it's 24 hours of sunlight. It's just so bright, and it just reflect, it would like burn out your, cause like real severe, like retina and eye problems.
Wow.
So, and then you wanted sunscreen or something on your fit, just covered. But then like we do our debrief and they're like, yeah, it's going to get really windy tonight. There's going to be 40 to 50 mile an hour gusts, and it's going to be like negative 40 wind chill.
Nice. Oh my gosh.
And so, yeah. So you're like, so it's kind of just changes from like hour to hour. Or it was funny, cause like it's kind of all weather dependent too, because like when we landed in South America and we had our debrief, they basically said, we don't know exactly when we're going over to Antarctica. And then once you get there, we don't know what time the race is going to be. It could be 3 p.m. It could be 3 a.m. It's kind of right. There's 24 hours of sunlight. So there's no like kind of limitation on anything. And it's like all just like weather dependent. And so they're like, we'll email you. Like the plan is to leave like on a Tuesday morning. And they're like, we'll email you Monday night if we're leaving or not. And so everyone's kind of, we're having dinner and like the email comes and you're like, oh, everyone's super excited. And then just getting over there, it was just like, just getting off the plane is just crazy.
Okay, my need to control things could not handle that. Like, might start, it might not. You might fly on a plane tomorrow. Might not.
This race works like, there's a chance you could get up there and they could just be like, it ain't happening.
Yeah, because the weather doesn't allow it. Like, it's like the narrow window, right?
Yeah, well, basically I said, plan on being South America for 2 weeks because we don't know. And they're going to run it. And it's just like a matter of when and how long you have to be down there. And then coming back, we were supposed to leave at like 10, 11 a.m. And we didn't leave till 11 p.m. because of the winds and like the plane couldn't land. And the plane has to turn around and go back. So they bring a group in and it has to leave because there's no hangar or no place to put it. And they can't just leave it out.
Oh, my God.
Exposed like overnight. So, yeah. So we took off at like 11 p.m. when it's still bright daylight, which is one of the other crazy things. Like, just you're out at midnight and it just looks like it's like 1 p.m. It's just crazy. And then we landed at Punta Arenas at like 4 in the morning. But just the whole experience again, it's just the vastness. It's just like, it's literally just snow and mountains and our little camp. And no wild. I mean, we weren't on the coast. All the wildlife's on the coast. We were like in the middle of the, up in the continent. So there's just nothing.
So where are you actually running? Is there like a trail? Is there a road? Are you just on a big sheet of ice?
Yeah. So they plow a course into the snow and ice. So like, I thought it was going to be more like a trail kind of feeling, but it's more like a beach kind of feeling. I mean, it was way harder than I was expecting. And then we had like, the weather was supposed to be like, we're starting in the afternoon because the winds were supposed to die down. Well, they died down, but then they picked back up. And it's basically a 10 kilometer loop that you do four times. And you start at the base camp, and then they have a little kind of aid station set up about halfway at the 5 kilometer point, and then you kind of loop back around. And so every loop, the winds got worse and worse. And then the last mile and a half to 2 miles of that loop was dead into the wind.
Oh.
And by our last loop, it was gusting up to 40 miles an hour with negative 25 degree wind chill.
Okay. Did you guys have like people out there like giving you extra clothes as it got colder and colder and the extra wind?
It was actually the reverse. And I was kind of, I live in Dallas and I don't like cold weather, which begs the question of why I actually ran Antarctica, which is another longer story. And so I wore what they recommended, which was kind of like a base layer and then like an insulating layer on top and then like a wind layer. And I didn't realize I was sweating so, like I started cramping like halfway through the race and I was just like, what is going on? And I could start feeling like how heavy my clothes felt. And I was like, I was just sweating so much because I had too much on. And I actually had to, like, when I got back to the base camp, I had to switch out of, it was like I jumped in a pool, like underneath my wind shell, and I had to hydrate because I was cramping. And so I had like a 45 minute stop, like by the time I changed everything and just kind of rehydrated before I went going again. And it actually saved my race because I did the last two laps with less clothes on and kind of, I ran walk a lot of it. I was trying to manage like how much I was sweating, and I was at the stops drinking and making sure I was getting a ton of electrolytes. And so I went from feeling great to miserable to feeling pretty good again. And so it was hard. It was one of the most challenging things I've done. It was way harder than Moab.
Wow.
Was. Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. That I can't even imagine. Do you have to have special shoes for that?
No, I mean, most people just waterproof trail shoes. Some people had like the yak track or stuff that you can put on the bottom, but it wasn't necessarily that you were slipping on the snow. Is you were actually like, because it was so windy, it was like when there were crosswinds, it would drift. And so you would just be like, you would just sink in to the ground.
Oh, like, my word.
Yeah.
I was just going to ask if that's why you said it felt like a beach when you were doing
it. Yeah, because you're sinking. Yeah, it's just like some places it was packed pretty good, but other places. So it's just like, yeah, it was either like a super soft trail or like running in sand. And so it's just that extra level of exertion. And then all the extra clothes and the shoes are heavier. It's hard to prepare for. Like, the trip was so great and our people were so great, so I don't necessarily want to do it again, but I, knowing what I know and how to run the race, I kind of would like to try for like a better time, but the time was kind of irrelevant anyway. But I'm a little competitive sometimes, mainly with myself.
But I get that. But it's more just for the experience of having done it.
Yeah, and it will never be topped, the first time being there and just everything. And our group was so good. Even like the people that put on the race were like, your guy, like there were no a**s in your group. That, I don't know, can I say that?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And like they even said like what just a great group of people we had on the trip. And so like you just can't, like you don't want to go back and like not ruin it, but just like,
Yeah,
I get that.
That's, yeah, I can't even imagine.
I'm like trying to picture, okay, could you just wear regular like sunglasses or did it have to be something?
Yeah, just right. You didn't need like, okay. Some people like had like that ski goggles when we were running and stuff. I just wore regular sunglasses. And wow. That's what I had the whole time.
Wow.
I needed something better for my face. I didn't have like my face fully covered. And when I came back, my wife said it looked like I had my lips done. They were so chapped, windburned, and sunburned.
But it feels like it would be hard to breathe in one of those baklavas or something
Yeah, that's what everyone was wearing there. I guess they're light. I guess you just need the covering. But yeah, no.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Like, I was like, just whatever. But again, lessons learned.
Yeah. You're like, next time I run in Antarctica, I have all the tips. Yeah. Wow.
Nothing about that sounds appealing.
That's,
it's impressive, but hard pass.
Yeah.
I don't know. To me, just And there are parts where you're running, because there's only 66 of us and it's a 10 kilometer course. Like, once everyone's separated, like, you're not seeing anyone for like huge stretches. And you get out to like the back part of the course and you look out and you just see snow and there is nothing. You don't even, because the mountains are behind us. And I mean, it's just wild. I mean, it's just like you could be on another planet. I mean, it's like, there's just nothing. It's
you were crazy. On Hoth.
Yeah.
That planet is called Hoth.
I'm just trying to picture, like, was the trail, was the course, I guess I should say,
clearly
really,
marked.
Really well marked. I get lost so easily. I'm like, you're
they
like, it's
have
just
people riding around snowmobiles just to make sure everyone was okay and stuff. And you would see people. The funniest was like that last turn, like, because you could see, like, you, because you'd make the turn that would go into the wind. So, like, you could see people up in the distance making that turn and just running like this or turning to the side or back. I mean, they were literally, like, if they stopped moving, they would have probably been blown backwards. And you're just like, oh my God, this is what I have coming up in like another 10 minutes. How am I going to get? And it was, again, it's one of those things, like, when you're running Antarctica, you want kind of to be an experience. So, having that. We were like, oh, like something to talk about and just like getting through it.
Wow. I can't believe you already have the hardest one out of the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know you said it was a long story. It's another story, but I do need to know why you ran in Antarctica. Like, how did that happen?
So it started out as a joke.
That someone played on you?
No, it was someone I've lost touch with, but someone whose goal was to run like a half marathon in every state. And this is when I was just picking up. I was like, oh, but if you can do a half marathon, you really might, you can do a marathon. And she was like, oh, but I hate being hot. It would have to be somewhere cold. And so I was just like, oh, let's do Antarctica. I didn't even know there was an actual Antarctica marathon. And then I Googled it and I saw it. So I sent her, oh, I registered for it. And then, but as a joke, but then when I actually kind of looked at it, looked like their promo video, like sold me immediately. And then just then this whole thing of doing a marathon in every continent and just like that whole kind of adventure side of it.
Okay. So you are the meme that escalated quickly.
Yeah.
That's what happened here. Got it.
It did escalate very quickly. And then
did your friend do it?
No, it was just me.
That's why you don't talk anymore. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. And so, yeah. So now I had to get my wife on board because it's not cheap getting over to.
Yeah, I didn't figure it was.
I've looked at, I don't know that I was looking at the same one you did, but I've looked at those and they are very expensive. There's one out there that does all seven.
Seven in 7 days.
Yes.
There's one that does seven. Yeah. Oh. And then actually one of the persons that worked the race had done that.
Really?
And, yeah. My whole thing is like, I looked into it, like, and knowing what I know now after Antarctica, like, because they actually ran another marathon, like when we got back to South America, so people could knock that off their continent list.
Oh, yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. There are probably 8 to 10 people that did their seventh continent in Antarctica while we were there.
Wow.
And they do, like, when they do, like, all the medals and stuff, they kind of point them, you know, they get their special seven continent medal. And then one guy who needed South America also, so he did it, like, the next 10 people. 10 people were crazy enough to, out of 66, to run another marathon, like, a day later, which is crazy. But anyway, it was fun. It was a lot.
Good. It sounds amazing.
I feel like it's one of those things, it's more fun to have had done it than it is to do.
No, I mean,
we runners just do weird things, though.
Yeah.
Like, feel like there's a lot of races you could say that about. Like, they're, I don't know. It's not fun when you're out there at the end of any kind of really long, hard thing.
Yeah. I mean, one of the biggest compliments I got is because, like, there's a small group from Dallas that just happened to be all running. And so I kept passing these guys. And every time I'd be like, hey, and I was like always in a really good mood. And like, just one of the biggest compliments I got was like when the guy was like afterwards, he was like, first of all, I can't believe that you kept passing. I never lapped them. I kept falling behind. And he was just like, you just look like you were having the best time out there, just even with the, and I really was. I mean, it really was just taking it all in. And even there's one little stretch when I was cramping and I was like, just sweating. I was like, this is awful. But like, kind of once I saw that, I mean, I really had, like, I would say out of the 26 miles, like, 23 of them I was just enjoying myself and really having like an amazing time.
You are a born runner right there. I that's good.
Well, it is something that obviously a finite number of people will ever witness.
Yeah, right? Like, it's very cool.
Not I mean, it's not like nobody goes to Antarctica, but most people don't go to Antarctica. No. So just seeing it is cool.
I would like to go back, not to run, but like I want to see the emperor penguin colony.
Yeah.
I was able to go see the penguins in Punta Arenas. They had a, I can't remember what kind, but they had a little penguin colony on an island. So I did that before the race. And then they actually had a few excursions from like the base camp we were at. One was to like the South Pole, which you kind of just see the South Pole. And then, but one was like a 4 or 5 day trip to the emperor penguin.
Wow.
Like, colony, which sounded like, I don't know how, like penguins.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'd be down for that.
Fun to watch. Yeah.
I love pretty much any animal though, to be fair, especially in the wild. Like every time we travel anywhere, I'm always like, ooh, they have this thing that you can do with the animals. And Tom's always like, oh my gosh.
You just want to cuddle them all.
You guys are going to go visit the emperor penguin colony in Antarctica.
I don't know that I can get Tom to go to Antarctica. He would be like, it's too cold. Although I will say, not that it's the same, but when we went to London, we went to this, what was that place called? The ice house thing that we did.
Was it like one of those ice hotels? Or
it was like a bar.
Oh, yeah. It was a bar. We went to Hyde Park and they had a carnival going on, and that there was like an ice bar in there.
And the only reason I mentioned that was because they had these really nice coats that you had to put on because it was so cold in there.
Oh, yeah.
And I was really like, I was impressed. We were all impressed with the coats.
Once you
I
put the
like,
coat on, you felt
it. It was so comfy. I was this is totally fine.
We were in there for probably, what, 20 minutes or so. But like, I didn't really leave because I was cold. Those coats really did what they claimed to do.
They did. It was so cold. Yeah. And it was like, as soon as I took it off, I was cold again. And I was like, okay, well, if I ever go to Antarctica, I'm getting one of these coats.
And they have, I end up buying a coat, but they have like, you can rent all that gear and they have the coat and they give you like the specially rated sleeping bags.
Oh, good to know.
That are down to like whatever, negative, whatever. So like in the tent, that was the other thing that was kind of crazy. Sorry, going back to that. But it was 24 hours of sunlight. So you're in these tents. And so it's like sleeping with the lights on.
Yeah.
And then the wind would hit and the whole tent would rattle and shake, and you're like warm in your sleeping bag, but it just wasn't conducive to sleeping.
It doesn't. Like I was picturing a cabin, but you just got done saying there's no actual like places there. Like it's not a real.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay. Well. Okay.
And that's when my wife was like, "No, thank you."
If there's a resort where I can wait for you, I will tag along. That's how I am. I'm the wife in this marriage.
Well, back on the Peloton side of things.
Yeah.
So who's your favorite instructor?
I have four go-tos. It's really hard to pick. I know some people are like, oh, I love them all for different reasons. But Matt, to me, is like the best at coaching. And he's just like the nicest guy. I've been lucky enough to meet him a few times. And one story. So we were here last summer and I'm going to the studio and I see this guy pulling up on a longboard with his, and he had his helmet on. And I just saw his Team Wilper shirt. And then he takes his hand and it's like, oh my God, it's Matt. And he was just coming. It was right outside the studio. He was just walking up like anyone else. And so I just shoved this black and white cookie in my mouth because I just run. I just did my long. I was going to take his class in the morning. And it got switched. So I was going to take his class and then go to do my long training run for the Marine Corps Marathon. But instead, his class got flipped to the afternoon. So I ended up doing my long run in the morning and I was just going to take his class. So I was like shoving this cookie in my mouth, trying to talk to him. And he's just like the nicest guy on the planet. And he's so good at like coaching. And he's generally interested in kind of everyone and what they're doing. And so I like him. Bex is probably the best pure runner that coaches. And so you're just kind of always picking up tidbits and learning from her. And then Olivia was kind of my original go-to. Her classes, like I like the no nonsense. It's just not my I know people, but I don't like the people that are just kind of like yelling at you and stuff. I like to like get in, do my work. And she's kind of more like just this is what we're doing. And her classes are super hard. And then Selena is my fourth. And her whole vibe is just amazing. Like I like to play golf. I was training with an MMA fighter. So like the boxing and then the surfing. So it's just kind of all her whole vibe is kind of just all stuff that I'm interested in and like to do. And her classes are just fun. It's like if just kind of to have like a fun class. So those are kind of my four. If if you made me pick one now, I'd probably say it's Selena, but it changes on a weekly, if not daily basis. And I like them all. Like, they all have different things to offer. And I'm never saying like, oh, I'm never doing this person's class. It's just, I don't know. That's just not my attitude either. And I feel like you can like either learn or have a good time in kind of whatever class you're doing.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
So what is your leaderboard name?
It's very unoriginal. I really wish I could go back in time and change it, but it's DLEV 1971. It's David Levinson, and I was born in 1971. So I also give out how old I am to everyone when I do it.
Oh, awesome.
But now I kind of stuck with me. Everyone's like, well, you can change it. I was like, oh, I could, but I don't know. What would I change it to? And I've had it since for almost 8 years now. I feel like I really can't. But like, I just, and everyone, and it was before too, like you didn't see like all these super creative leaderboard names. Now everyone's like got really fun ones.
Well, it gets harder too, the longer people are in the ecosystem, the more permutations get consumed, and then people have to start adding numbers. And for sure.
Exactly.
So,
well, David, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to join us. We really appreciate it. Before we let you go, let everybody know where they can find you and all the places if you would like to be found.
Sure. Yeah. So it's really just Instagram. I'm too old for TikTok, and my Facebook's private, but I'm in most of the groups. My Instagram is Kinger, K-I-N-G-E-R _ 1971 on Instagram. I have my, like you'd see, I can tendency to kind of start talking. So I did a really long series of posts on the Antarctica trip, if anyone's interested. And you can see some of the videos of the wind blowing kind of our last lap, if you have inclined to do so. But some of the pictures that they took were really spectacular. So I encourage you. And there's also, it's running, Peloton, and family trips is pretty much my Instagram.
That's awesome.
Account.
Awesome.
That's
well, if you're going to Antarctica, I think that you probably take some cool family trips that are worth checking out.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And yeah, that sounds great. Thank you so much for all of this. We really
I really appreciate you guys reaching out and having me on. This was a lot of fun. I hope your viewers enjoy it. And I really had a great time. Thanks for having me.
We did too. Thank you.
Thank you. So I guess that brings this episode to a close. Until next week, where can people find you?
People can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/CrystalDOKeefe. They can find me on all the socials and the Peloton leaderboard at Clip Out Crystal.
And you can find me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online at facebook.com/TheClipOut. While you're there, like the page, join the group. And of course, don't forget our Patreon account where you get to help out the show, afford equipment and things like that. And you can also get the episodes ad-free. You'll get bonus content, which we're going to record as soon as we're done doing this, with all the stuff we didn't have time for in this episode. And then if we get the episodes early, you get them early so you can surprise your friends. You can spoil it for them. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, keep paddling.
And running.
And rowing.